Well, it's always a good thing to be behind the microphone of the Collector's Show, a familiar spot for me, and I hope for you as well. We're going to be doing our very first non-U.S. interview coming up in the interview segment. We're going to be learning about a way you can use technology and the internet to make your collection available to museums and what it takes to loan your collection to a museum. That's coming up in the interview segment. We'll do some news from the world of collecting first. And speaking of collections from overseas, there is a terrific American history exhibition called The Death of America. It is a darkly satirical new exhibition from a highly collectible British artist whose name is Ben Turnbull. It's featured in an online publication called The Upcoming. And apparently what Turnbull does is takes bits of Americana, mostly based on comic books and from comic books, and turns those into original works of art. So you can do one of two things. You can be unhappy with Mr. Turnbull that he cuts up comic books. That's where I'm coming from. Or you can get interested in his art and his take on American pop culture. And I guess, given that he's cutting up such nice stuff, maybe that's the place to land. I'll post this on the collectorsshow.org website, and maybe I can find a way to get him or somebody from the museum where his exhibition is going on to come on the show. I had posted this on the website, I guess, a few days ago, and I love this headline. Look out. There's a case of 74 prosthetic glass eyes that were found over in the UK. It's a rare collection of glass eyes, and they were unearthed in a town called Lichfield. An auctioneer whose name is Charles Hansen stumbled onto this startling find during what they call evaluation day. I think that's where they just look at stuff to see what it's worth. And pulled out a box of fake eyes. So whether you're interested in collecting medical supplies, prosthetics, or you just want to win a bar bet, check out the eyes. Have a look. You know, the Masters Golf Tournament just ended, and there's a guy who has all kinds of golf memorabilia that he's collected that started with a Masters Golf Tournament scorecard. His name is Dustin Raymond, and he has amassed more Masters Tournament items than even he could keep track of. And like I say, one autographed scorecard has exploded into thousands of items, including a heap of yellow Masters flags, all signed by golfers. He's in need of archiving his own stuff, but he lives in Georgia, which of course is where the Masters takes place. And he even says he forgets some of his things. We've never talked much about the need to catalog and label the things in your collection, but if you're an avid collector and want to be serious about it, my opinion is that it's the archive and, you know, the card catalog that you have that accompanies your collection that separates it from a serious collection, like one that our friends in the UK might consider for a museum or just a bunch of stuff. You can visit his site. It's www.mastersflags.com, although he claims that even what's on his website doesn't even begin to do justice all the things he's collected from the world of golf, which is too bad, because for the rest of us to appreciate it, you got to write it down, and it's got to be written in a way that the rest of us can sort out. We've talked about collecting baseball cards and different kinds of sports memorabilia. But did you know that among the most collected of all sports memorabilia are baseball gloves? I didn't know that. But apparently, in 1999, Sotheby's sold Billy Crystal a Rawlings baseball glove that was supposedly owned and used by Mickey Mantle in 1960. A little bit more investigation showed that what Crystal had paid $239,000 for wasn't from 1960, but more likely from 1966. But baseball gloves that were actually used in a game are very collectible. There's a picture, and I'll put this on the website too, of a 1997 Derek Jeter game-used glove. It was sold by Golden Auctions, and it's now up for auction. It has everything you would ever want in a collectible like this, but man, be ready to shell out a lot of coin for one of your leathered friends, the collectible baseball glove. Okay, that's it for news. You want to stay up with the news in the world of collecting, you'll want to visit our website, collectorsshow.net. It's Collectors Show with two S's there in the middle. All right, all about how to make your collection available for museums next in the interview segment here on the Collector Show with me, Harold Nickel. Well, welcome to the interview segment of the Collector's Show. It's not often that we have an opportunity to speak to someone from outside the U.S., but today is the day for that. We're going to be chatting with Angela Roldan. She is with a company called Vastari, the Exhibition Connection, and what we'll be chatting with her about is a very unique service that will allow collectors the opportunity to put their works in front of people who might not otherwise get a chance to see them. Angela, welcome to the Collector's Show.
Thank you, Harold. Great to be here.
And I'm sure people will recognize immediately that you're not from around here.
No. We're based in London. I'm actually from Ecuador, but we are based in London at the moment. So we're a few hours ahead.
Okay.
But happy to be here.
Yeah, and I'm happy to chat with you and looking forward to learning more about this very unique service. Tell us about your service and what it does for collectors.
Of course. Well, Vastari, we are an online platform that connects private collectors with museums. We facilitate temporary exhibition loans. What we're doing basically is allowing collectors to anonymously register any pieces they wish to make available for a museum. And at the same time, we're allowing museum professionals, which are obviously previously vetted by our team, to search through this database of work and find if they have some, to see if this has something they could be interested in.
Right.
At the same time, if the curator finds something they would like to include in their exhibit, they can privately message the collector directly through our system, and obviously this guarantees that no details are exchanged between both parties, between the parties, until they both feel comfortable.
So, it sounds a little bit to me like a library for museums. They check out things that they think would be of interest to their patrons. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah, I mean, that is a very clever way of putting it, and you could definitely say it's that. I mean, what makes Vastari so special is the fact that registered collectors already have a predisposition to lend. I'm sure you know that the research and planning process for exhibitions is extremely time and resource consuming. So usually what has to happen is that if a curator wants to get access to a work in private hands, he must go through a great line of calls and forwarded emails. And in the end, it could end up being a waste of time and obviously of money if the collector is not interested in lending. Through our platform, curators can bypass this whole process and establish successful connections.
So you help connect museums via information, and they can vet that on their own and then decide whether or not they want to make something available in their museum. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. That's we let the curators be the vetters of the work, and then once some sort of contact is established between both parties, we do not get involved in that. We allow our users to handle that with the museum.
So if I'm a collector and I think I own something or a collection that's noteworthy that people might be interested in seeing, how do I get listed? What's the criteria for getting a collectible included as part of your service?
Well, if you are a collector, the first thing you would have to do is register on our webpage, www.vestari.com.
Right.
And following that, you can upload works that you believe would be of museum interest. In the first few months of the company, we initially thought that it would be important to have a vetting committee for the pieces that are uploaded. However, we eventually realized that the ultimate judge is the curator. They will decide if a piece is worthy of being exhibited. However, obviously, we did realize that there had to be some sort of a filtering system in order to avoid getting large numbers of pieces that did not meet the quality that curators expected. So, for example, in regards to fine art, we do require that the piece or the artist has to have been sold at auction or come from a reputable source.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a situation where if I think, and this will sound silly maybe, but if I think, oh, my matchbook car collection, oh, somebody might want to see that, it has to be something that I bought at an auction and that you can prove that it has some kind of value beyond just the fact that I really like matchbook cars, right?
No, what I'm trying to say is it doesn't necessarily have to be bought at auction. Obviously, that is especially important if it's a painting or something. But if you have a fantastic matchbook car collection, you can, and this is something that would interest museums. I mean, we have museums, or registered museums, are experts in everything from like the niche to the most common. So it might interest one of the museums, but obviously you have to also be, the collector has to have a bit of realization of what museums want. And in the end, I mean, you could upload that easily and hopefully there will be a museum that will be interested in that. But in the end, it'll be the curator who decides that.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm glad, I appreciate you clearing that up for us. And when I looked at your website at Vestari, and we'll post that on the Collector Show website, it looked like there were a lot of pieces of fine art. Is your service, is it primarily for people who collect fine art, or are there other types of collections that you display and that you carry?
Yeah. No, absolutely not only about fine art. As I said before, we welcome anything that a museum might be interested in. So far, our collectors have registered everything from fine art to memorabilia to furniture, jewelry, collectibles, cars, design, antiquities. So the range is infinite, really.
Okay. And since it differs from other services, and there's lots of other businesses like this where you buy pieces of art, or you buy different types of collectibles, and we've talked about and with some of those folks here on the program, this is one where it's a loaned out service. Where did the idea come from?
Well, firstly, one of the key features of our platform is that we don't deal with sales like other platforms do. We only deal with loans. However, obviously, it's important to know that if a loan agreement leads to a purchase, we will not get involved or charge a commission. But the idea came from our managing director, which is Bernadine Brocker.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually working at a gallery in Mayfair in London. And she had several experiences where many of her top clients would come up and ask her, for example, why their Degas had not been in this or that exhibition, or why they hadn't been contacted for their piece to be in this museum, etc. And she soon realized that, in fact, there was no way for collectors and curators to communicate unless it was through an auction house or through the typical little black book of contacts that an art advisor might have. So after this, she saw how important it was for both parties to remain anonymous during the initial process of setting up. So she came up with a secure platform that helped connect the both parties.
It sounds like a really good idea, and it sounds like so many business opportunities that your managing director saw a need and filled it. Which kind of leads me, though, to my next question. How does anybody get paid?
Do you mean how does the collector get paid, or how our business operates?
Yeah, I mean, how do you make money if you're just facilitating loaning collections? You said there's no sale, so there's no commission. How is it that you're able to make money doing this?
Well, our service works through memberships. Collectors who wish to register 5 objects or less can do this without charge, so it's a free membership. However, if a collector wishes to upload more than 5 objects, they could get a yearly, a 10-year, or a lifetime membership. And these all include unlimited object registration.
Okay.
We always remind our collectors, obviously, how long exhibitions take to plan. I mean, usually it's between 3 to 5 years. So it's very important for them to know that increasing the time period that the pieces are registered will undoubtedly increase the chances of it being exhibited.
Right.
Nonetheless, it's also important to note that until the end of this month, collectors will be able to register their pieces for free for a period of a year, so for the next couple of weeks.
So it's a membership, and that makes sense. And it does also sound like you're very good at managing expectations of people that this isn't something that is going to happen in a week or a month, that it might take quite a long time to get your item noticed and included as part of an exhibit.
Absolutely, yes.
So let's say that you do loan something out to a museum and it becomes lost or, God forbid, stolen. How do you manage that?
Since we're only involved in the process of connecting collectors and museums, we really do not get involved in what happens after or between the agreements.
Okay.
After a connection is made, it is really up to the collector and the curator to agree on terms such as insurance and logistics. However, if the collector wants to, we do offer advice on these issues, and we have great partnerships with insurance, logistics, and legal experts worldwide.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
We also provide, photography and cataloging, and this is all worldwide, so we don't get involved after that.
Yeah, it's good, though, that you mentioned that you do help point people in the right direction of those types of services, and it's also worth noting that this is a global service. You don't have to live in the UK to be able to take advantage of it. You can become involved via the internet from darn near anywhere.
Absolutely, yes. We actually have collectors and museums registered from obviously the UK and all over Europe, North and South America, the Middle East, and Asia. So it's been great. I mean, we've been operating for years, and we already registered 5 of the top 10 museums in the world.
Wow.
And we received fantastic feedback.
Oh, that's congratulations on your early success. Now, we talked earlier about the vetting process. What have you turned down?
Well, I guess we've been quite lucky in that our collectors are quite clear about what is and isn't regarded appropriate for our site. However, we do occasionally get for example, the amateur artist who just uploads all the works in the hope of getting recognition.
Yeah.
And obviously, in this case, we do have to explain to them the terms of our platform and how we operate.
Yeah, so if I go to upload my etchings for inclusion in an exhibition, probably not, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So in a more positive vein, the more unusual things that were accepted, what were those like?
Oh, God, I guess a fossil. We were extremely surprised. It was definitely by far the most unusual object registered. However, we did recognize this is most definitely museum-worthy, so we loved it.
And I missed what you said. It was what? Sorry?
Oh, sorry, a fossil.
Oh, a fossil. Okay.
Yes.
That's very cool. What was it a fossil of? Do you know?
I can't disclose that information, unfortunately.
Oh, well, all right. We don't want you to get into trouble giving away giving away any secrets. But it sounds like, you guys are open to things that it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, fine art or things like that, that you're open to other types of relevant, historically important collections.
Absolutely. Anything. I mean, we just, we're open to anything that a museum would like, and you can't really eliminate all the wonderful museums that there are, which specialize in maybe niche topics. I mean, maybe koi or perhaps dance, or these are all things that people want to share with the public. So
sure.
we welcome it.
So before we go, tell us about your website and how people who are potentially interested in registering, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, if they go to www.vastari.com, they will be able to register there as a private member of their collectors. If they're museum curators, they can register as an institutional member, but they will have to be vetted by our team. And yes, we upon registering, you will receive your own personal advisor who will help you manage your collection and have the most successful membership that you can to show your work. We definitely I guess we could say there are so many types of collectors who work for this platform, because we have everything from the big collectors to those who might not even be collectors but inherited a piece or two from their grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Our members are just anyone who's interested in sharing their art with the wider public and obviously increasing the provenance and profile of their work. It allows any and all art owners access to this amazing platform with thousands of professionals from the best museums around the world. And sharing art.
Yeah, it sounds like a way, like you say, for people who don't necessarily want to sell or give away their collections, to let other people have the opportunity to see them. And Vastari is Vastari. They're located at 34 Salisbury Street in London, England. And we will post all of that to our website. And Angela, I want to thank you for making time. It's worth noting that there's a huge time difference that we're dealing with. So thanks for being with us on the Collector Show.
It's a pleasure. Good to hear from you.
Nice talking with you. Listeners, stay tuned. One final word before we go here on the Collector Show with Harold Nickel. Right back. Well, it did get a little noisy there at the end with Angela. I'm not sure where she was. But like I say, it was a very, very challenging interview to do because of the time difference. So thanks to Angela for making time for us at what was probably pretty late at night for her. Next week we're going to talk about pedal cars and a terrific interview about a hobby and a display, a place to go learn about not just pedal cars, but one of the premier artists and designers in the history of American industry who also happens to have designed pedal cars. So you won't want to miss that next week on the Collector Show here on Web Talk Radio with me, Harold Nickel. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends and come back.